I walked into the building yesterday, and I pulled up and I walked in, and I said, "Man, God beat me here to church." So I tried it again today, but God was already here. I don't think He left from last night, you know what I mean? Paul, I just think you're the most amazing guy. You're just awesome. You know what the best part of you is? Your wife. Paula, you're really special. I am so glad. You weren't here the last time I was here. I don't know how long you've been coming, but I'm so glad you found your home. You're loved around here, man. Everybody just talks about how awesome your wife is, you know? It's all good. You know, I just feel the presence of the Lord, you know, and I'm not a singer, but I got a song in my heart, you know. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely yours, my soul says yes. Can you do that? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely yours, my soul says yes. Woo! I feel better. Oh, you don't want that, man. It's ugly. But God likes it. We have the most amazing testimony ourselves. God is so awesome. My father-in-law, it's a long story. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but, you know, he's never known the Lord. He's never known the Lord. My wife is born again, has been since she's 14 years old. And her younger sister's been born again all her life, too. And they're both in the States. Her sister's in Hawaii. Aww. And we're here in the beautiful Northwest. Yeah. Feel sorry for those Hawaiians, you know. They got nowhere to go about round circles around their island, you know. But and there's two brothers back in Germany that don't know the Lord yet. But my father-in-law calls my wife every Saturday morning from Germany, you know, just to talk and catch up on the week and how everything's going. And the short version of that is this morning my wife led my father-in-law, her dad, in the sinner's prayer. And it's so amazing, you know? So amazing to see God working like that. You know, that's biblical. Some of you wonder why in the Spirit you go, "Ho!" You know, that's in Isaiah. "Ho!" So that's biblical, you know. If you feel in the Lord and you want to feel an unction coming out of you, go, "Ho!" That's biblical. So, the book of Mark, chapter 3, 1 through 5. Some of you may want to be turning there. Some of you probably know it by heart. You guys are all biblical experts. And the title of my message, sometimes the title doesn't mean that much, but today the title means a lot. I want you to understand what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about you can have it if you're willing to stretch. You can have it if you're willing to stretch. Mark chapter 3. I'm reading out of NLT, I think. Yeah. Jesus went into the synagogue, and he noticed a man. King James says Jesus went again into the synagogue. And he noticed a man with a deformed hand. King James says withered. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. You know, those only enemies he had were in the church. Just thought I'd give you that little sidebar. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit, the Old Testament law, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil?" But this, is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily, and he was deeply saddened by their hardened hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." King James says, "Stretch your hand out." So the man stretched up. Yeah, don't forget the TH. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. Amen. You can have it if you're willing to stretch. God has put a word in my spirit for the body today. And I must give it. I must prophesy. Anyone that has an ear, let him hear. God is setting His people free. But you say, "But Pastor, I'm a child of God." Yeah, you may be a child of God and yet still bound. Bound by religion, bound by traditions, bound by the philosophies of man, bound by the limitations of past experiences, bound by the fear of failure, bound by the fear of man, bound by insecurities, and bound by personal doubts. But I prophesy that by the end of this message today, somebody is going free. Somebody is coming out and coming up. And you're going to get what the devil said you couldn't have. And you're going to do what people said you could never do. I wish somebody that believed the Word of God would give the Lord a shout of praise in this house. I want you to slap somebody a high five, and I want you to tell them anything you want. So what are you saying? Did anybody say, high five, you can have it if you'll stretch? Now do that. You can have it if you stretch. Oh man, some of y'all playing Twister. What's going on? Woo! Don't need those. Our text begins by telling us that Jesus entered again into the synagogue. And like I said, I could preach on that one for an hour or two. But Jesus entered again into the synagogue. The number one need for the church, the general church in America, is for the manifest presence of God to be fully realized in every church in America. I'll tell you what, we got talent in America coming out of our eyeballs and ears. We've got central heat and air, we've got carpet on the floors, padded pews, we've got overhead projectors and PowerPoint presentations, we've got technology. And all that is good, but what we really need is some old-fashioned neology. You know, I got a bachelor's degree in pastoral studies, but I got another degree too. It's not on the wall, but it's written on my heart. I got a master's degree in neology, and I went to Burning Bush University to get it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been before the Burning Bush? Yeah, I'm telling you what, it doesn't make you full of, it'll humble you, I'm telling you. But we've got talent, but what we need is more than talent. What we need is the fire of God, like the old saints used to know how to get a hold of the horns of the altar and persevere in prayer until the very atmosphere of God was pregnant with the tangible presence of God. Yes. We've got that here. How many of y'all know it can go up another level or two? You know, this is great what's going on here, but it gets better. Turn to somebody and say, it can get better than this. Ah, come on in, Lord Jesus. I like the modern conveniences of our day. I'll tell you what, I'd rather ride a new Harley than one of those old rigid frame ones. We got these new things now called swing arms. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what a swing arm is? You know what a rigid frame is? Rigid frame is go around the block and then go to the chiropractor because it's so hard on you. You know? But now we got this thing called soft tails. Not me, the bike. Y'all don't understand Harley language, do you? Can we edit this, Judy? Let's edit it. But come on, you know what I'm talking about. I like the modern conveniences. I like the fact we got fuel injection now instead of carbureted bikes. You know, I'm not that much of a mechanic, so you don't want me down there trying to get the mixture right. You know, I have flames shooting out the back of my... Anyway... Well, maybe that's not... I'm my exhaust pipe, not me. Where is your guys' stinking thinking coming from? You know, it's like in Germany on the Autobahn, you know, entrance way is called a Einfahrt and an exit is called an Ausfahrt. Yeah. And an exhaust on a German motor, on a German car, is called an Auspuff. So be careful what tongue you're speaking in, okay? Schandala. That's glory to God in some language. Maybe three or four different languages, I don't know. But we like modern conveniences, right? We like air conditioning. We like ceiling fans. We like heat in the wintertime. We like all these modern things that just comfort our life. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be meeting in an old hay barn with cows all around in the stalls and sitting on a hay bale for a pew and bundling up because it's cold or get your rag because you're sweating and the presence of God comes down in the middle of that old barn. I'd rather have that. The meeting and the convenience of all the niceties and no anointing. Yeah. Folks, there is no substitute for the anointing of God. Nobody is ever supernaturally, divinely healed by a theological dissertation. Nobody I know. It takes the anointing of God, partnering with the Word of God, which is Jesus Himself, coming together and manifesting your need, whatever your need is, manifesting the answer to that. Amen. Come on, guys. Amen. We need the fullness of God, don't we? Now, I want you to notice something, like this scripture here of this man with the withered hand and Jesus and all that. Not all religious people want Jesus to show up in church. You ever been to a church like that? I mean, you can sing about Him, you can talk about Him, you can preach about Him, you can pray to Him, but if He actually shows up, it's like, Pete, don't fail me now. Out the door you go. Why? Because it's one thing to have a knowledge of something. It's another thing to have an encounter. Anybody notice the sign on the sidewalk out by the highway? What's it say? An encounter with the living God. People, you know, there's a lot of people that acknowledge that He's living, but boy, they don't want to have an encounter with Him. But then there are other people that just strip it all off and say, God, I don't care. I just need You. I need an encounter with the living God. And that's what God, that's near and dear to the heart of God. That they watched the guy with the withered hand. They knew this dude. And here was the Sabbath where you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. But you know what? Religion is sometimes the greatest hindrance to the manifest presence of God. Amen. I am not against structure. We got to have structure. We got to We got to have things in order in the house. Amen. God is not the author of chaos unless he's confusing the devil. Somebody needs to write that down. God is not the author of chaos in his house. God is not the author of chaos among his people. But he does bring chaos to that which is against you. And dead religion is, well, you get it, don't you? And you know what? Not everybody gets thrilled when you're getting yours. You'd think so. You know, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew all about the Word, but they didn't know the Messiah of the Word. And you know, they were just hoping that they had an inroad to be dissing on the Messiah for doing something that they thought was wrong. But Jesus didn't care about all. He blasted the Sabbath all out of the water, didn't he? And I'm not saying, you know, if you're a Sabbath keeper, that's fine. I don't mean to sound rebellious, but I'm kind of a Sabbath breaker. The whole Saturday legalistic Sabbath thing. But if that's something between you and God, praise the Lord. Getting quiet in here, did I do something wrong? You know? Here they are. And they're just waiting for something to go wrong so they can justify their position and say, see, we're right. They're wrong. They're doing the right thing at the wrong time, the wrong way, therefore... And there are people that don't want you to succeed. There are people that are proud, and there are people that are arrogant, and there are people that are not of the heart of God. They may sit in a pew, but they don't show the character of God. And they will quietly sit there and judge you, and they'll quietly sit there and just watch you trying to scrape a couple pennies together to go pay your electric bill or scrape a couple pennies together to go buy some ramen so you're eating something. Woo! Man, I remember when I was a bachelor, I could whip you up some ramen. Tell you what. Yeah. Beef ramen, chicken ramen, shrimp ramen, oriental ramen, plain old ramen. That and a bottle of Frank's will get you a long way. And you can be struggling while somebody else is sitting there in their abundance and they could help you out, but their pride and their arrogance won't let them, and they'll just sit there and they'll judge you. There are people that are like that. I don't think that that's so in this church, but I know that there are people that are like that. And this man, he was desperate. This man at the synagogue on the Sabbath, you know? There was something about him that caught the heart and the eyes of Jesus. This guy was the setup. You know, has religion ever tried to use you? But that's okay, you know? That's okay. Is there anybody here that's been hungry for Jesus to touch you, even if there was this drama and a spectacle going on? Oh, just don't care, you know? You just don't care. The fact is that the man's hand was withered. And it tells that, and that tells me that he probably contracted some kind of a disease or injury. He probably wasn't born with that according to the wording in the Greek. And I want to tell you, there's somebody right here tonight. You weren't born that way. Turn to somebody and say, you were not born that way. You were not born addicted to porn. You were not born to be prejudiced. You were not born a liar and a thief. You were not born a pedophile. You were not born a homosexual or lesbian. I don't care what people say. You were not born that way. You were not born a drug addict. You were not born an alcoholic. You were not born a gambling addict. You were not born that way. But there was this thing, this disease called sin. And it deformed your life, and it made something ugly and painful out of your life. But, Pastor was talking about that word earlier, but, somebody say, but. And I'm not talking about the exhaust on my bike. But the good news is, there is a cure for you. What are you laughing at, Bruce? Bruce is laughing at me. I don't know. His mind goes places. He shouldn't ought to go. We'll cast that out later. I love Bruce. You know, he'd be okay if you ever learned how to play the guitar. Dude, you are awesome. You are awesome. Not only talented, but the anointing of God just flows out of your fingers through that sound system. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but listen, I'm just breaking out. I'm just breaking out right now. I'm breaking out, Bruce. Breaking out. Because there's an anointing that's either been on you or coming upon you, and you're going to begin prophesying to individuals on your guitar. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but you're going to be busting out in worship sometime. The worship team's busting out. And pastor's going to say, keep playing. He's going to walk over and grab somebody and bring them right up in front of you, Bruce. And during the spontaneous flow of music, spontaneous flow of that, the anointing of God's going to come upon you. And so, I'm feeling it. It's going to come upon you in such a way you're going to just start playing in the Holy Ghost, and somebody's going to get healed right in front of your eyes. You're going to prophesy over people with the guitar. Get ready. It may happen this weekend. Okay, you may have just had your warning, okay? If God leads me to, I'm going to grab somebody and bring them up to you. And you just give them Jesus, okay? Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I know it came from the Holy Ghost, though. That wasn't on my notes because that all came out because you were laughing at me because of the word but. Woo! Your life may have been deformed and you may have been through stuff. You weren't born that way, but sin did. The sin nature of Adam comes upon all of us and stuff happens. Turn to somebody and say, stuff happens. But the good news is, there is good news. The good news is, there is a cure for you today. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. What can wash my sins away? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. You guys get it. I like it. Yeah. I wish somebody would take about 30 seconds and just start praise the Lord for a minute in your own way. Yes, Lord. Now, let me tell you something about this. Let me tell you something about this. This may not mean too much to you, but if you were ever bound by sin and addictions that had grabbed you by the throat and were choking the life out of you, and God came and set you free, you know why we got this praise thing going on. You know what I'm talking about. Set free. Set free. Set free. God is so good. I'm getting a little drunk, honey. Woo! I tell you what. The power of God can set you free. Set you free from drug addictions, from the pornography, from that immoral relationship that you've had, one after another, after another. And you went from one partner to the next partner. But the blood of Jesus has washed you from all of that. The Bible says there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And you know the blood of Jesus has set you free. Now I did a little sniff test coming in here today. You know, and y'all smelling pretty good today. Y'all, most of y'all smelling pretty good. I said most, yep. And But there was a time when you didn't smell so good, huh? You know what I'm talking about? There was a time when the smell of sin was upon me, the smell of death was upon me, and it didn't matter how much I scrubbed, I couldn't get rid of that smell of sin in my life. But the power of God, I'm talking to you about the blood of Jesus today. It washes white as snow. Somebody needs to know you were not born that way. It's a lie of the devil that says you were born that way, so you're going to be that way and you're going to stay that way the rest of your life. No, no, no. Anything that is inconsistent with the Word of God and the will of God for your life is contrary to the way you were born, the destiny and the plan of God for your life. So what do you do? How do you apply it? You got to align yourself. Align yourself to the Word. Align yourself to the things of God. And you know, it doesn't come easy. I can't tell you how many times as a young man, newly saved, long before my wife ever met me, thank God. I wasn't very attractive in those days. Look at me now, though. You wish you could look like this and still sizzle like a fajita, you know? But I'm telling you, what? You said you'd have my back, thanks. With friends, like, yeah, he is my brother. But let me tell you, there was, when I first got started in my walk with God, I was a firebrand, zealous, full of fire, full of the things of God, but full of a whole bunch of stinking thinking and mess too. Boy, I'll tell you what, I love God, but God needed to do a work in my life, and He did an instant work and a progressive work. And you know, it's been 32 and a half years now, and I can sing you another song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Oh, y'all didn't go to kids' church, did you? Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and moon and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be for 32 and a half years. He's been working on me. But I'll tell you what, in the early days, I can't tell you how many times I walked up to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I'm riding the altars tonight. He said, good, here's the keys. Time for me to go home. I've got to get up in the morning. And I would go to an old-fashioned altar like this, and I would lay on that altar after church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. And I'd lay myself on there. And I felt like Isaac laid out before the Lord, a burnt offering before the Lord. And I said, God, I'm not getting up off this altar till something dies. Either I'm going to physically die, or you got to kill something inside of me. And I would wrestle with that, and I would work with that, and I would apply the blood of Jesus to that. You know, and I would stretch for that. And God honored that. But you know what? God didn't get real serious with me about some things until I got real serious about God with those things. Then He got serious. Somebody needs to understand that. You weren't born that way. Amen. That's the introduction. We're getting there. But I know your pastor preaches 2-3 hour sermons, so I'm good. Some of y'all don't have to be anywhere else until church tomorrow morning, so we may just go all night. The Sunday morning crowd may come in here, and we're all just never. You got it. You weren't born that way, but life happened, and life's not always kind, And the blows of life and the way that the life and the world has kicked you around, your faith may have turned into a withered hand. Oh, you may have quit dreaming your dreams, and you may have quit reaching for the future, and you may have quit expecting. And you've just settled into some kind of an existence. Oh yeah, even in a church like this. Even in an on-fire river church full of the Holy Ghost and all kinds of great stuff, and woo, and you can participate in the services, and you walk out that door afterwards, and you step back into your life of dysfunction, and you step back into your life of dashed dreams, and you step back into your life of mediocrity, and you think, well, life has beat me up so much, I'm just happy to be alive still. It's great to be in that good church. Now back to life. Now come on, there's people that are like that, right? Turn to somebody and say, it could even be you. It could even be me. Life happens, doesn't it? One of the worst things that could ever happen is for someone to quit dreaming and just settle into existence. God did not say, I have come to give you existence and give it mediocrity. Mediocrity, is that a word I just... It's a Larryism. The word according to Larry. But Jesus did say, the thief cometh not before to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And I told you last night that anything that is theft, death, and destruction is not of God. And anything that is life abundant. Now, it's not just, the word there is zoe. That doesn't mean life of just wake up in the morning and realize you're still breathing. You're just like, whew, I'm alive. No, you can be alive and be dead. But God wants you to be alive and alive. God wants you to be experiencing the fullness of life. Some of you may have lost your joy. I've come this weekend to impart the spirit of joy, the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of hope into this church. God's doing something there, isn't He? Jesus said to the man, stretch forth your hand. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to take some effort, but stretch forth your hand. I know you're going to have to work to get your hand stretched because it's withered. That elbow hasn't bent in years. That wrist has been curled up for years. Those fingers haven't worked in a mighty long time. I know it's going to take everything you got just to get that arm to go out a little bit. But stretch forth your hand. I know you've had to push through some bad experiences, but stretch forth your hand. I know there's going to be some pain in the stretching. Anybody ever had physical therapy? You want to? The most hated people in the world are physical therapists. And they'll always say, no pain, no gain. Let me give you some pain. No, but you know what I mean, right? And sometimes there's some pain in the stretching. I know there's going to be some pain in the stretching. I know you're going to have to overcome some religiosity in your stretching. I know you're going to have to extend your faith beyond where it's ever been in your stretching. I know it may even make some people mad. You just stretch it out there anyway. You go ahead and stretch that hand right out there. Child of God, if we're going to go anywhere in God, we're going to have to stretch. It may cause some discomfort. It may upset some people. Some people may even turn their backs on you. But that's okay. Love them anyway. Some people may lie on you. Lie on you. Tell lies about you. But to walk with Jesus, you have to be willing to get out of the boat that you're in. God never called us to be comfortable. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of comfort in the healing of emotions. But God never called us to live just a comfortable life. If your goal is just to be comfortable, oh, you're shooting way below where you ought to be. I'd rather shoot for the moon and only make it halfway than shoot at nothing and hit it. Y'all got that one? Part of stretching means that you have to separate from the crowd sometimes. Everybody can't go where God's going to take you. Everybody don't want to go and do what God's doing in you. The Bible teaches us to follow the cloud, not the crowd. In the wilderness, you know, when they're crossing from Egypt to the promised land, it was the cloud by day and the fire by night. The Lord said to follow it. When it stops, you stop and make camp. When it moves, you move with it. I'm sure there were people that got comfortable in their camp, and when the cloud moved, they said, "Oh, this is a comfortable camp. We'll stay here." And they didn't go with the cloud. I'm sure they were among those that died in the wilderness too. They didn't make it. I don't want to be the guy that camps in the wilderness. I want to be the guy that camps next to the cloud by day and the fire by night, talking about the glory and the anointing of God. And when it goes, it's leading. It's not going away. It's leading. And I follow because it's taking me somewhere. May not be popular, but I'm going. You know, the call of God on my life for 20 years or more took me away from, geographically, away from my biological family. I was a long way from them. I missed my grandmother's funeral, my grandfather's funeral. I missed my sister's graduation. I missed all of my sister's weddings, except my little sister's first wedding. I did that, and it lasted 3 years, so never mind. But I paid the price to follow God instead of staying in the camp with the family. But you know what? God has completely, completely repaid that in so many ways. I couldn't even begin to imagine. You know, what a rush. What a life I've led so far. What adventures in God I've had. Adventures in life that I never would have dreamed was possible on my own. You can do it. Stretching, you got to stretch from the crowd, you know. I came with a word for somebody today. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I came to loosen you from human limitations, from religious limitations, from demonic limitations placed on you by the world. I came to tell you it's yours and you can have it. It's your Father's good pleasure to give to you the keys of the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom of God. I started a new study a few years ago for my personal life. I think I even shared this the last time I was here a little bit, about the kingdom of God. And I thought, you know, I've heard about this and I know about it in general terms, but I know it goes deeper than what I've done. So I started studying, and I studied for a few months. I studied for a year, studied for a couple years, studied for 4 years, studied for about 10 years, and I still haven't got a full understanding of the kingdom of God. It's like bricks, built upon bricks, upon bricks, upon bricks. You know, everything that Jesus preached, 94%, I think is the calculation that came up, 94% of everything Jesus preached and taught was the kingdom. Every parable is about the kingdom. Every illustrated sermon Jesus did with objects that laid around him was about the kingdom. We need to be about the kingdom. We need to be about the Lord's business, about the kingdom. And sometimes you got to break away to do that. Break away from religiosity. Break away from everything you've ever known and take a big step to go forward. Now, you need to break away from a lot of things, but you don't break away from your home church. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
The minute you get out from underneath the covering, you are free game for the devil. Don't think that you're so high and mighty that you don't need a covering. God set up a covering system both with God and with man over our lives. We need that in our lives. So stay connected. That's not what I'm talking about. I just want to give that little disclaimer there for some of you that may take that and run in weird ways. No, no, no. I came to loose you from limitations, though. And I came to tell you that what God has promised to you is possible. Your hand may be withered. You may have been knocked around by life. You may have to stretch to something that you don't think can stretch. You're going to have to stretch out beyond the religion, the traditions. You're going to have to stretch beyond your comfort zone. You're going to have to stretch beyond people's opinions of you. And if I let what people said about me growing up in the Lord, and even now, if I let these things affect my life, let them enter my heart, you think I'd be up here today preaching the Word? What's funny is over the years, many of the religious people that used to sit in self-piety judgment over my life. They're not even serving the Lord now. Some of them are still saved, but they're not doing their ministries anymore. They've quit living and they've begun existing. You know, if you're one of those haters, be careful, because that's what will happen to you. Get on the other side. Get on the other side. And I've had a lot of people say a lot of bad things about me. But you know what? That didn't take the anointing away from me. My heart and my attitude had to stay right. But it doesn't matter what other people say about you. You can talk about me all you want to, and it's not going to affect the anointing over my life at all. If anything, it may intensify it. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, if I'm in His will, man, it doesn't matter what people say. What matters is, am I being obedient? And is my heart right? Is my mind right? You know, some people may try to put limits on you, but you got a big God, but you're going to have to stretch to go to the next level. You're going to have to pray like you've never prayed. You may have to come lay at this altar like I was talking about. Come in, lay out this on this carpet and until you know that something has changed in your life. It may take a day, it may take an hour, it may take a week. You know, you may say, God, I'm going to lay here as long as it takes, but give me 5 minutes every 2 hours to go have a bathroom break. You know, I think God will give you grace for that. But other than that, you're right there holding on to the horns of the altar until something happens. You may have to pray like that. You may need to sow seed, financial seed, into the kingdom of God in a way that's going to stretch you so big. Some of you, God is speaking to your life this season right now to give an offering like you've never given before. I mean, I remember a time when God told me to give my whole paycheck. I mean, I was an E3 in the United States Army, living in the barracks. You know, I had three meals in a cot. You know, I wasn't going to starve to death. I had a place to sleep. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to give all my money on payday. Oh, I had good plans for that. God told me to give my whole paycheck to this brother that I didn't even know he was in need. He's a dear Christian brother, though. But I obeyed the Lord and gave, I think it was, at the time, is all I had, but it was like $600. And I walked up to him, and I said, Brian, I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know. You're one of my best friends, and I love you. And we have a great fellowship together. You don't have to open up to me. Maybe you don't have a need, but God told me to give something to you. Maybe it's just my test alone. But here, and I pulled out. I did it in like $10 bills, so it was a great big thick wad, you know. Yeah. But this was in like 1983. $600 was a whole lot more in 83 than it is now. Okay? It's like $6 million now. You don't know. You weren't even born in 63, Chuck. Or 83. When were you born? Oh, you were 7? Oh, you just look young. Okay. But I gave this brother all this money, and he looked at me, and he just started weeping. He said, Larry, you don't even know. My car was about to get repoed. And I got those two little kids and my wife, and I said, be blessed, brother. I love you. You know, that was worth more than $600 to me. To see the look on his face and to know that God used me to meet his desperate need. The $600 not only caught him up, but it actually paid off his whole car. And I just felt so blessed by God to be able to do that. I'm telling you that because somebody here, God may be testing you to give a big offering. And you be obedient to the Lord. And I'm not saying you have to do that to me. Okay, I thank you for the love offerings you're giving. You got to know my heart. You know, you give it wherever the Lord tells you to give. It may be to the church. It may be to the pastor. It may be to somebody in the church. It's probably not going to be to some televangelist. I'll just tell you that. It's gonna meet a true need. Amen. But some of you, to stretch your withered hand out there, maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's giving. Or it may even be your praise. We got good praise and worship in this house. We got good music, don't we? Yeah. Where's my little twirler? Where's she at? There you are. Girl, you got such an anointing on you. You have the anointing of a dancer. When you dance, it's beautiful. And the thing I like about you is your heart is so pure and tender and humble before the Lord when you do it. And you're definitely not trying to put on a show to people. You're dancing to the Lord. And God loves that. Your dance is beautiful. But not everybody has the ability to dance pretty. Some of y'all need to get out of your comfort zone and put on your ugly praise. Lift your hands in the air like you just don't care. Come on. Y'all know the story in the Bible how David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he stripped down to his long johns to do it. You know what I'm saying? Keep your clothes on in the church. But get your ugly praise on. I mean, whatever. Some of you need to learn how to worship the Lord and just, wah, you know? Huh. I remember my old Choctaw grandma. I've shared about her before. This is back in the old days, you know, when I was a little bitty boy. And she's my grandma, and she's 4'9", 4'10". But she had that really long hair, and I told you about her. Remember? She had the beehive. Remember in the days when they had the beehive? She's 4'10", but she's 7 foot tall. I mean, I'm telling you. And that worked really good until ceiling fans were invented, and then the hairdos start getting a little lower, you know? Put a whole new meaning to the word swing from the chandeliers. My grandma invented that style. I remember my grandma getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember her in that old country church in California. They had rednecks in California, I'm telling you. And I remember my grandma, that little Choctaw woman, she had this thing going on with her wrist. Woo, woo, woo! And she'd shake her head and bobby pins would be flying everywhere, you know? Glory to God. And she did not care. I mean, when she let it go, it went from wall to wall, you know. But she was being touched by God. And then she'd take off running. You ever seen somebody running the Holy Ghost?
Oh, yeah.
Wah! I got my short legs from her. That little short-legged Indian. Wah, wah, wah. You know, she would run. And when she would run, she was running for God. She was running in the glory. And she had her ugly praise on and she didn't care what other people thought. She was going to get hers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Some of y'all need to quit worrying about what other people think and get yours. Y'all need to enter in. Get your ugly praise on. Woo! Telling you, I don't want to bust a move. I might bust something. But, don't laugh. I blew my britches out doing that one time. Yes, sir. You can have it if you're willing to stretch. Y'all stretch your hand out and pray for your pastor. Oh, God. But y'all remember what it says in Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3? It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Your children shall inherit the Gentiles. And make the desolate cities to be inhabited. City can be full of people, be desolate. But a city can be turned on its head and converted to Christ in a day. And that which was desolate becomes life. Notice all the words in this verse, the speaking, the enlarging, the going beyond, the stretching forth, the spare not, the lengthen. And after the enlarging, the stretching, the lengthening, the strengthening, then he says, because you're going to break out on your left and your right, and your seed will inherit the Gentiles and make desolate the cities to be inhabited. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what he's saying. Get this all stretched out because... I saw this in Pakistan. And I've been all over the world, preached a lot of places. Pakistan is one of my favorite places. I need to go back to Pakistan. I need a financial miracle of between $7,000 to $10,000 to do what I need to do over there. But God's calling me back to Pakistan. We've got what, $300-$400 in that account? Don't laugh. It's going to happen again. It happens, okay? Call of God's there where there's provision. The word pro, P-R-O, it's a Latin word that means for. Provision is that which is for the vision. God's good. But I remember in Pakistan, I'd been there 2 years before, seen all kinds of miracles and things take place. Some of those things had spilled over to 2 years later when I came back. One of those things was a pretty little girl about the size of our dancer. How old are you? You're 9. That's how old this girl was. But this little girl had never walked a day in her life. The first time I was there, I walked into the tent. There was 800 people in the tent. I'd walked into the tent before any of these people, after everybody was seated. And all the kids were in a section up here, about 150, 200 kids all sitting here in a section. And they had this big, mean-looking guy with a stick that was supposed to beat any of those kids that got out of line. But some of those kids weren't very good, so and he wasn't doing a good job. So he got fired, and they sent a meaner beater to beat the kids. It doesn't happen over here, but there's a different culture, okay? And men sit on one side, women sit on the other side, and the kids up front. And the Spirit of the Lord hits me, and I start walking out among everybody. They're all sitting on the ground, not like this. They sit on the ground, Indian style. Hundreds of them. And I was just walking through, touching people, and they're being healed as fast as I can touch them. One guy stands up. I think I've shared this story before. One guy stands up, and he looks at me, and he's pointing right there, and he's this far from my face. And he's got a kind of a, thought it was a mean look at first, but it's a, you know, but just a desperate look on his face. And he's pointing at his eye, and my translator says, he wants God to heal his eye. I laid my hands on him, and as I'm praying for him, his eyeball comes back alive. Instead of just a gray mass there, it comes, yeah, my hands on him, and all of a sudden, all the hairs stand straight up on my arm. You know, like, would have stood up on my head if I had some, but, you know, it was like, whoa, it was supercharging. I saw that eye come alive right in front of me, and I know God's good. You know, and other miracles like that. And then I walk over to the kids section, and there's one little girl there among all those girls, and she's cross-legged there like everybody else, but I'm drawn to her, spiritually drawn to her, and I walk up to her, and I just say, and she's sitting down, and I just hold my hand out. She doesn't say a word, but she takes my hand, other one, and when I take my hand, I go like this, and she stands up, and everybody, the place got deathly quiet. Quieter than you guys right now. And I hear people starting to gasp. And I don't know what's going on, but I just feel the unction of the Lord. So I just walk her across the front. And she's just walking like this. Just walking across the front. And everybody's like, oh! Like they'd seen a ghost. And I started turning around and going back. And the translator's walking with me. And he's whispering in my ear. He says, do you know what just happened? I said, I don't know. All I know is I got a precious, precious child of God right here. And he said, that girl was born crippled and has never walked a day in her life till you reached your hand out and she stood up. She has never walked. God did a miracle. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, sometimes God does something and just... He just lets you be the number one spectator, you know? I had the front row seat of this thing, and I'm like, wow, that was cool. So we fast forward 2 years later. I come back. Instead of 800 people, as we're just coming into the town, we have to park, and you got to understand how it's set up. You can't really drive on these cobblestone streets in these Christian colonies there. You park, and then it's a whole neighborhood with cobblestone walkways, and the houses are 7, 8, 10 feet apart, with these kind of blocked off. And we're walking down there, and I look, and there's about 2,000 people lined up there, and they're throwing rose petals on me. I'm like, this is weird, right. And then I walk about halfway down where we're going, and a little girl comes running up and does a Superman dive right in. And she looks up at me in her broken English. I can tell she's been working on it. She says, "You remember me?" And all of a sudden it dawned on me. This is the girl that 2 years ago was healed. She still got it. She can do the Superman plunge now. No limp, no nothing. Completely well. And she says, "You come to my house." And so it took me by the hand. And we walked. I mean, I got the state overseer, the national overseer. I got the national evangelist with me. 3 translators. I got the guy that's traveling with me. He's never pastored a church of more than 15 people, and he's blown away by all this. But he's loving it too. And I needed to expose him to something bigger than what he had experienced in his whole life. And so I got him coming with me and a whole bunch of people. There's about 30 of us. And we all walk down where this little girl is leading me. And we walk into her house. And there's her mother and dad welcoming me into their house. They say, "Please come into our house." We stopped the whole parade to go into her house. I looked on the mantle, and there's a picture from 2 years ago, a big blown-up picture of me and this girl. And they said, "Thank you for obeying the Lord. You changed our lives." And I didn't know what to expect. I knew God was doing some good things. Went to the host pastor's house and rested and prayed and got all worked up. It's about a 5-minute walk from his house to where the meeting was. Went down there instead of 800 people. The very first night we have about 8,000. The next night, and we just barely fit them into this really big tent that they had. The next night, people were lined up early in the day to get in. And they rolled up the sides of the tent. They had to extend the tent. Those tents are made out of panels, and so they had to extend the tent. They ran out of all their extensions. Then they had to roll the sides up. And we had 10,000 people inside this place. I don't know how many people were outside. We had people up on the walls, people looking in over down from people's houses and stuff. It was all kinds of crazy stuff. And we had an amazing Holy Ghost blood. I got it on video. Maybe I'll be able to share that sometime. Blew me away. What I'm telling you is, God is faithful. There are people that... We gave an altar call, and 1,000 people came to Jesus that night. In one service. I got it on video. It's amazing what God does. That was 12 years ago. I've been to Africa a bunch of times and other places since then. But I got to go back to Pakistan now. Going back to Pakistan, whenever the Lord opens that up. I've got people that text me, that Facebook me, that try to call me all the time, begging me to come back. And they're reminding me of the miracles. There's some young men there that I prophesied over and laid hands on. And I said, "Some of you guys are going to be country changers. You're going to change the spiritual complexion of this nation." 12 years later, guess what? They are doing it. It's a new generation of young men and women growing up in Pakistan. And I feel like I've had a small part to play in that. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, when God started telling me to go do this stuff, at first, I was like, I had a withered hand about it. There's no way. I'm too poor. I'm too ugly. I don't know enough. I'm not anointed. I'm not connected to all the right people. Stretch your hand. Stretch your hand. Next thing I knew, you know, the problem is some of us, you know, we got a withered hand, and the Lord says, make the one like the other. And we go, okay. We get it backwards, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Let's not be that way. Let's take our faith, stir it up with our destiny, and let us become who God says we're supposed to be. Okay, we got past the introduction and the first point. What is it that God has put into your heart that's too big for you? You feel like you're dysfunctional. You know, Paul says your weaknesses become your strengths. I can't tell you how many drug addicts I've led to the Lord. I can't tell you how many potheads I've led to the Lord. I don't care if pot's legal in Washington. You take it up with the Lord and see what He says. You'll have a righteous outlook on it instead of a righteous... y'all know what I'm saying. But God will take what used to be your greatest weakness and turn it into great strength. And use you and anoint you to minister to the people like you used to be. If you're willing to stretch. It hurts to stretch. Takes you out of your comfort zone, but can you do it? We have so many excuses. I started giving God a bunch of excuses one time. He's telling me to step out. Get my withered hand stretched out. Stretch it out. When God says do it, even if it's impossible, it'll happen. But oh, how many excuses I had. You know, God has a sense of humor. Y'all already know I'm odd, so God has to speak to me in strange and unique ways. And I started coming up with this list of excuses why I couldn't do what God was telling me to do. God, I can't do that because this, because that, because that. And Lord breaks in. He goes, Larry, that's the first time I ever heard that excuse out of anybody. That's a new one. That's funny. Now get your butt up. Don't tell me God has a sense of humor. Look at the person sitting next to you.
Right.
Laugh with them, not at them. God's good, isn't He? God's good. For every excuse you have, God has an answer to that. And God wants to break that excuse-given spirit. How about an opportunity-looking-for type of spirit?
Amen.
Looking for opportunities of ways you can serve God and do things for Him. When a jet takes off and breaks the sound barrier, what happens? There's a sonic boom. I hear in the realm of the Spirit tonight some sonic booms taking place. I'm talking to somebody. You may have camped out at the same place way too long, but the Lord is saying, boom. Everything in your life may be stagnant. You haven't made any progress for years. The Lord says, get your jet off the landing strip. You haven't made any progress for years. Your prayer life is the same level it was 20 years ago. Your praise life is the same level. You haven't learned how to get your ugly praise on. Your sowing is at the same level. Your giving is at the same level as it's always been 10, 20, 30 years ago. Oh, it's time to stretch again, isn't it?
Yep.
It's time to take the tent down and start walking. It's time to move. The cloud has moved. The fire by night has moved. The cloud by day has moved. We need to go with the cloud, not the crowd.
Yeah.
It's time to stretch again. Why do we sit here until we die? Remember in the Bible there was these four lepers?
Yeah.
And there was this army coming against the land where they were at? And they decided, hey dude, we're going to die anyway. Let's go see what we can wrestle up. So they started walking toward that camp, and the Lord amplified the sound of their feet. So instead of four people, it sounded like 40,000 marching toward the enemy's camp. And so these dudes got all scared. Every single one in the camp, boom, took off. I mean, they didn't take time to pull up their drawers. They took off. They didn't take time to take a bath first. They left. They didn't take time to get their goods, you know. They left. They left their food. They left their wealth. They left their donkeys behind. And these four lepers, can you imagine what it must have been like for them? Can you imagine? You may be like that. But the Lord's saying, don't leave your jet on the runway. It's time to take off. And don't be putting around in the clouds. Kick your afterburner in. Let's go to the speed of sound. God wants to do an accelerated and rapid thing in some people's lives. Why? Because the day is short. We're coming to the end of this thing. You look around, the signs of the times will tell you, I don't know how much time we got left, but the clock's ticking. And I don't. And when it all comes down, I don't want my jet being left on the runway. Man, I want to be up there in the clouds, afterburner on full burn, going through the clouds. Boom, 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 boom. You know? If I'm going to burn out, I'm going to burn out for Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to burn out in the clouds, not on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to soar with the eagles and not be a turkey.
Yeah.
Turn to somebody and say, you're not a turkey, are you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can I have somebody hit some music, please? The truth is, so many of us are waiting on God when God is waiting on us. We're waiting on God to move. But God's already said, get your jet off the ground. We're waiting for that jet to just supernaturally, you know. But the Lord says it's time to engage some things. It's time to do it. We're waiting on God, but God's in reality waiting on us. Time to stretch. Get out of your comfort zone. Begin to fulfill the destiny of God in your life. To fulfill that calling. This is a challenging word, huh? Because sometimes it's so cool. To come in here and get our thing on, worship, woo, get all feeling good, get all pumped up, and we get energized. And it even gives us enough energy to go out and do church without walls, you know, and do that too. And we think, okay, that's good. We did that, and we did this. Ka-ching! Done for the week, you know? Done my weekly duties. But are we really maximizing our efforts for the kingdom? What about that old battle axe that lives next door to you? Oh, y'all got battle axes living next door to you, okay? What about that? What if God says that person is so messed up that I put you next to them so you can be a witness to them and lead them to me? They need the love of Jesus, and we learn how to love that battle axe. So that they're not a battle axe anymore. They're a sword wielded in the hand of the Lord. Firebrand for Jesus, huh? How about the person you work next to at work? You know, foul mouth and full of all kinds of mess and full of vinegar and the wrong kind of fire and all messed up. Maybe they know you're a Christian and you don't play that, but do they know that you really care about their soul? Have you given the message of the cross in a way they can understand it? Has God given you an assignment like that? Or maybe it's your parents. And they finally get saved. Whoever would have thunk the day would come when her dad would have got saved. But the Lord had it written down in history that today is the day. Or actually it's Germany, so yesterday is the day. Time change. Lord, amen? Stretching out. You know, one of the most beautiful things that I know is a woman's stretch marks. When a woman, I don't want to sound too personal, but when my wife conceived our children, she got out there bigger than me. And there were stretch marks to that. But I didn't look at that as ugly. I looked at that as beautiful because she's bringing life. And the stretching is a part of the bringing of life. I don't care if those stretch marks go away or not. They're beautiful. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Women and men, spiritual stretch marks as you give birth to the things that God has spoken into your life. Yeah, dudes, we can give birth to in the realm of the Spirit, okay? Women say, you have no idea what you're talking about. Not in the physical. But you know what I'm talking about. We need to look at things from a new perspective. We need to see the beauty and the pain of stretching out past our comfort zone. Stretch into the things that God has called us to stretch into. Oh, for there's need of these things in the kingdom of God. You can have it if you'll stretch. You can get that new job if you'll stretch. You can finish that degree if you'll stretch. You can have that new house if you'll stretch. You can get out of debt if you stretch. You can begin preaching the Word of God if you'll stretch.